Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Divergence Radio with your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth, on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Listen in every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and join us in the chat room as we discuss music, magic, spirituality, and more.
And also about also about my past experiences with the holiday. Let's see. So, winter solstice is the rebirth of the sun or the oak king. On this day, the light is reborn and we celebrate the renewal of the light of the year. Oops, are we not forgetting someone? Why do we deck the halls with boughs of holly? This day is the Holly King's Day. He is the god of transformation and one who brings us birth new ways. Why do you think we make New Year's resolutions? We want to shed our old ways and give way to the new. The Christians celebrate the birth of the sun, who in more ancient times was the sun, Mithras, the sun god, son of Ahura Mazda, as it was the same concept. This is a discussion on its own, but nevertheless, it is the same concept. Astrologically, Saturn rules at this time. Saturn rules Capricorn, which is a sign that starts at the winter solstice and where celebrations of with food, gift exchanges, and other festivities happened during the Roman celebration of Saturnalia. The masters would serve the servants in a celebration of role reversals. Nevertheless, this was a celebration of abundance and renewal. So that's a little bit about the winter solstice for us all. Let me see if I can pull up the Battle of the Oak and Holly Kings. We had a great celebration today at Mama Gnome's Nest. For those of you who don't know Mama Gnome, she is Lisa Vysik, or Vysik, I think her name is pronounced. And she's a wonderful, wonderful lady whom I met a couple of months ago when I first moved down here. And she collaborates with Lady of the Circle in the Oaks, which is the local proto-temple, Karelian proto-temple, around this area in Thomasville, Winston-Salem, King, that area of North Carolina. And she collaborates with them and the Tea House of the Goddess, which is the formal distance shrine that she runs through LCO, Lady of the Circle in the Oaks. And hold on a second here. I need to refresh my wireless connection again. My wireless connection has been acting up all day and all night. I've had to refresh it about every 10 minutes or so, and I'm not sure why. But it's just been losing packets, I think. And it's really annoying, especially when I'm trying to do a radio show. I've had to call in instead of using Skype, which I normally use as Skype. But I did not want the connection to be dropped every 10 minutes and we have to refresh. So that's why I'm calling in. Okay, and we have the Battle of the Oak and Holly Kings up in 5, 4, 3, 2, One. Okay, this didn't work. I'm waiting on it to load. It's trying to load desperately here. We're just going to give up on that. But, well, maybe not. Let's try one more time. Okay, let me find a song for us while I try to figure this out. That might be the best route to go. Let's go with Bone Poets Orchestra, Solstice Call, since this is the solstice, the winter solstice. And we will be back in about 5 minutes. Thank you so much for listening to Sacred Divergence Radio.
Come on, come bring your pimply-faced boyfriends and glowering. bonfire, some clay locked apartment tonight. I'll come along.
And we're back here on Sacred Difference Radio, episode 75, Yuletide. So this story is actually a poem that I'm going to read to you, and it is entitled The Battle of the Oak and Holly Kings. So here it is. A rivalry many centuries old, since ancient times the tales were told, of two great kings, one dark and one light, who twice a year would heroically fight. The Holly King, the darker one, ruled the with the dimming sun, while the King of Oak was vibrant and bright. He reigned over summer, the sun's growing light. At Yule they would battle, 'twas an inspiring scene, and the victory would go to the mighty Oak King. But at midsummer's time, with the sun at its peak, the Holly King would win, the Oak King grew weak. And so it went on, year after year, and the story was told to all who could hear. So honor the Oak King in summer, when the sun's light is warm, and the Holly King in winter, and the swirling snowstorms. So there is a small poem for you guys about the winter solstice. Let's see if we can find more about these Holly King and Oak King. Today in our battle, actually, it was the Oak King who lost, but it's the symbology that counts. Letting us know that one is dying and the other one is reigning. And it was quite the epic scene. There were two kids that were playing the Holly King and the Oak King. And they actually did some wars instead of battling with sticks or Nerf weapons or whatever have you. They actually did some wars. So that was pretty neat. It was the most original thing I've ever seen. So, let me see here. In Celtic mythology, the Oak King and the Holly King were twins, pitted against each other in a never-ending fight for supremacy. Oak trees, sacred to the Celts, lose their leaves while the English Christmas holly trees are evergreen. As the cold winter approached, the Celts marveled at how the evergreen Christmas holly trees, hidden amongst the leafy oaks the rest of the year, now stood out prominently on an otherwise barren landscape. The Holly King had won out, as it were, as the incarnations of his twin brother had shed all their leaves and stood naked in defeat. But by the time the winter solstice arrives, the tide has turned. The Oak King's flow in power is the Holly King's ebb. The deciduous twin takes his first baby steps towards reestablishing his supremacy. The Oak King's supremacy won't reach its zenith until midsummer, when the oaks will be in full leaf again. At which point it is now the Holly King who will be riding the new wave. The evergreen twin lies the foundation in the summer heat for a reign that will culminate in the winter solstice. Thus, ironically, whenever either king reaches the height of his dominance, at that very time he is doomed to be supplanted. Which is why we daylight cravers have a reason to be of good cheer as the winter solstice approaches. At our darkest hour, the time will soon again be on our side. For the Romans, holly was used to honor the sun, Saturn, god of agriculture, during their Saturnalia festival held near the time of the winter solstice. The Romans gave one another holly wreaths, carried it in processions, and decked images of Saturn with it. According to the Kentucky Cooperative Extension, the Saturnalia was the festival upon which the Christmas holiday was directly modeled. Evergreens such as Christmas holly were adopted by Christians as the Christmas decoration, in spite of protests from church fathers such as Tertullian. A tiny flicker of this age-old controversy still burns today. In Christmas folklore, the prickly leaves of the Christmas holly trees came to be associated with Jesus' crown of thorns, while their berries represented the drops of blood shed for humanity's salvation. This symbolism can be found, for example, in the Christmas carol, The Holly and the Ivy. Christian folklore also identified Christmas holly wood as the wood used to build Jesus' holy cross. In fact, some scholars think that the word holly is simply a corruption of holy, although there is no general consensus on this point. There is a general consensus on is the diversity and versatility of holly trees. Holly is a prized Christmas decoration and adds visual interest to a color-starved northern landscape. But a modern herbal also reports the medicinal uses for holly. Herbalists traditionally use holly leaves to treat fever and other ailments. The berries possess totally different qualities to the leaves, being violently emetic and purgative, a very few occasioning excessive vomiting soon after they are swallowed. Bird watchers take note. Several bird species are attracted to holly shrubs, including thrushes and blackbirds. According to the USDA Forest Service, holly shrubs are also consumed in the winter by wild turkeys, mourning doves, goldfinches, and bobwhites. So there's a bit more about the winter solstice that you may not have known, and I certainly did not know. I'm always learning and always seeking out more information where I can find it. In the Northern Hemisphere, the winter solstice occurs around December 21st, when the sun is over the Tropic of Capricorn. And the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year, with the fewest daylight hours. So from here on out, okay, this is the primary reason why the winter solstice is my absolute favorite holiday of our calendar, aside from Samhain. And it is for the simple fact that from here on out, the days get longer and more light comes in. And we are celebrating light during this time, and I need a lot of light because I am seasonal affective disorder. I have that. So it means that in the wintertime, I am more prone to depression. But that's okay, because I have lots of people surrounding me now, and it's not so bad. I spend a little bit of time in the morning outside in the sun, and I try to get as much sun as possible during the day. I have a window behind me, in fact, that lets in quite a bit of light. So there is that. Now, let's see. Let's try to do some numerology, if I can, here, really quick. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, K, K, L, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So let's do Oak King, which would be 6, 1, 2, and 2, 9, 5. And G would be 7. So 6122957 equals 6 + 1 + 2 + 2 + 9 + 5 + 7 equals 32. 3 + 2 in turn equals 5. And let me get to my numerology book on my Amazon Reader. Let me see if I can find it really quick here. I'm using Reverend Donald Lewis's second degree Carillion Wicca course for this. Oh, the connection has kiboshed again. Hold on just a second while I refresh. And it's refreshing right now. Refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. Okay, there we go. Let's try this again. Read.amazon.com. I absolutely love the Kindle Reader. I recommend Kindle books to anyone who can't afford normal books, that you know, the physical paperbacks or hardcover editions of books. The reason why is you can carry an entire library with you anywhere you have your phone and an internet connection. The Amazon Kindle app is free on Google Play, the Play Store, and it is definitely well worth it. You can also access it from any computer that has the internet by going to read.amazon.com and logging in with your username and password that you would on the Amazon website. And it will take you to your library. There are tons and tons and tons of absolutely free materials out there. All you have to do is search the Kindle store for free books. And you too can have them. Okay, so I'm logging in to the second degree book here. And let me search for numerology. If it will let me. It's being a little stubborn tonight. But that's okay too. We will work with it. Patience is the name of the game with computer. Okay, here we go. Let's see here. Numerology. And it's indexing all of the pages that have the word numerology on it. Take a little bit. So let me go ahead and find our song for us to listen to. And it's close enough to the bottom of the hour where I can go ahead and tell you who you're listening to and where you're listening to it. My name is Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton, also known as Lady Elizabeth, and you are listening to the 75th episode of Sacred Divergence Radio, entitled Yuletide, on Sacred Divergence Radio on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And I'm going to go ahead and play We Are the Wick by Castalia Alexandrian, and then I'll mix up a few other tunes for you guys to listen to. All right, so here we go.
That is the love.
And we're back on Sacred Evidence Radio. What you just heard was Falling by Christopher Bingham. And that was preceded by another song, which I've already introduced. So it turns out that the numerological values for Oak King and Holly King are both 5. And I find this quite interesting because 5 represents the journey of the soul through the world of the four elements. It represents consciousness and the mind, the ability to learn, understand, and reason. The ability to understand constantly grows throughout the journey of the soul, ultimately leading to enlightenment or complete identity with deity. Its symbol is the pentagram, which represents the integration of spirit with the four elements. This symbol was one of the most sacred symbols of the Pythagoreans and of the Egyptians before them, and was used as an identifying symbol for the Pythagorean movement. It will also readily be recognized as a symbol of the Wiccan religion and as the symbol of the Wiccan second degree of clergy. The number 5 is the number of communication, interaction, and commerce. The number 5 is quick-witted, expressive, and persuasive. It is intelligent, inventive, learns quickly, and is capable of doing many things at once. The number 5 is able to see and develop the potential of the situation in order to derive maximum benefit from it. On the negative side, 5 can be shallow, self-centered, and scattered. It tends to overextend itself with too many products and can sometimes be a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. The number 5 works fast, but it sometimes misses important details if it moves too quickly. It can also sometimes, in the name of achieving its goals. So this is interesting because we have both of these twins, they're twins, first of all, the Oak and the Collie King. So I think that it would make sense that numerologically they would be the same number. It's also quite interesting because when I think of kings, I think of persuasive, intelligent, noble people who are capable of ruling over many things at once. And so, yeah, that's something that's really interesting to me, that they're the same number numerologically. Now, I'm trying to do, at the same time that I'm talking here, I'm trying to do the same for winter and summer to see what that gives us, to see if winter and summer are indeed the same. I don't think they're going to be the same just from looking at the numbers here, but I will calculate them up in just a moment. 4, 4, 3, 9. Okay, so winter's value is going to be 5 + 9 + 5 + 3 + 5 + 9, which gives us a numerological value of 36, which then in turn gives us the value of 9. And the summer gives us the numerological value of 1 + 3 + 4 + 4 + 3 + 9, and that gives us 24, which reduces to 6. So they are not the same. And you know, while I'm at it, let's do spring and fall, or autumn. Let's do autumn. Let's see what fall gives us as well. Let's see if it's the same. So let's go with fall first. F is valued at 6. A is 1. And L's are 3. So 6 plus 1 plus 3 plus 3 gives us a total of 13, which is 4. So fall is a 4. Autumn is 1. 1, 3. 2, 3. 5. No, 4 and 5. 1, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5. Spring is going to be 1, 7, 9, 9, 5, 7. Yep, that's right. Okay. I was just double checking there to make sure I had the numbers correct. Let's see. Autumn is 1 + 3 + 2 + 3 + 4 + 5, which is interesting, and that gives us 18, which in turn gives us 9, which is the same numerological value as winter. And spring is 1 + 7 + 9 + 9 + 5 + 7, which is 38, which reduces to 11, which is a master number. And I believe that master numbers have a special significance. So let me get to that really quick. Eleven is the master psychic, a number of strong psychic and magical talents, spirituality, inspiration, and insight. It is also a number of high ideals and perfectionism. The number 11 is artistic and expressive. It is always connected with popular opinion, often with mass movements, and it indicates fame. So I would interpret this to mean that you would pursue magical talents, spirituality, inspiration, and insight in the spring. And it is a time of high ideals and perfectionism. Everything is coming into bloom. The birds are back and singing. Trees are being planted. Fruits and vegetables are being planted in our gardens. And everything is alive. Everything is perfect. And that is that. Let's see here. What else we can glean from the numerology of the seasons? Let's go to winter and autumn, which share the number 9. The number 9's planetary ruler is Neptune. And it represents the furthest extent creation can reach before beginning a new cycle. It also represents enlightenment or union with deity, which represents the furthest extent an individual can reach before beginning a new cycle. Its symbol is 3 interlinking triangles, either one above the other or in a circle, as the Enneagram. The number 9 is the humanitarian number. If 7 represents the study of spirituality, 9 represents the practice of spirituality. Where 7 takes its spirituality inward, 9 expresses its spirituality through action. It is loving, giving, and very concerned with others. It is concerned with its place in the universe and strives to be at one with spirit. It always tries to see the good in everything, and when possible, to be of help to everyone. 9 is open, trusting, and optimistic. On the negative side, 9 is so busy being of help to others that it often puts itself last, giving so much that it does itself harm. It can also be unfocused and so accepting and trusting in the universe that it makes no plans, so concerned with both sides of every situation that it can make no decisions. It tends to forget that its own needs count and are as important as anyone else's. And last but not least, we have Summer, whose number is 6. So let me get to 6 here. Sorry, my computer is being a little slow. Here we go. The number 6 is the number of harmony, of balance, of the smooth running cycles of life that move constantly forward in ever-changing ways. It is the number of peace, happiness, and prosperity. It is, above all, the number of physical joy and pleasure in the physical world. Its symbol is the hexagon. Now, this is particularly appropriate for Summer because, at least for me, I derive the most physical joy and pleasure in the physical world during the height of summer, when everything is in bloom, everything is blossoming, everything is right and good and bright in the world. And yes, the days can be a little hot, but that's okay because we need that heat in order to grow our food and in order to appreciate the winter when it comes. The number 6 is the number of harmony and happiness. It is a lover of peace, quiet, and home. The number 6 loves family, friends, and good times. It is artistic, creative, and loves nice things and nice people. The number 6 is kind, nurturing, and supportive, and dislikes conflict or unpleasantness, and works hard to create a safe, secure environment. On the negative side, 6 can be very insular, concerned only with its own little world, and unable to see other points of view. It also has a tendency to build its life too much around others. The number 6 can also get caught up in material things, becoming overly concerned with luxuries or physical pleasures. As a rule, 6 does not like to work too hard. And I think that we covered all of them. Let me double check. Oh, we did not go over fall, which is the alternative to autumn. And fall is the number 4. I am also the number 4, so this will be insightful for me as well. The tetrad. Our planetary ruler is Saturn, and the cosmological interpretation is as follows. The number 4 represents the 4 elements, the building blocks of the material world. All physical things contain these 4 elements, which are qualities rather than substances, as has been discussed in the first 3 lessons. And it is through these 4 elements that spirit manifests into the physical. The world of the 4 elements appears very solid and can seem immobile and imprisoning to the unenlightened, but it is, in fact, fluid and reactive, and so can be readily influenced once its true nature is understood. The number 4 is the number of manifestation, of physical creation, and of time. Its symbol is the square, which represents stability. The personal interpretation is as follows. The number 4 represents organization, practicality, and common sense. 4 is efficient, economical, and thorough. It is a builder and shaper of things, and it does its work carefully and well. The number 4 is the number of stability, of structure. It is careful and pragmatic. On the negative side, however, so good at creating structure and stability that it ends up feeling held back by its own creations, even trapped by them, tending to react to the structures around it rather than act on its own. We all have lessons to learn, but 4 can sometimes make its lessons harder by focusing on the limitations the lesson imposes rather than the opportunity that it offers. At its worst, 4 tower has the tendency to see all walls and no doors. And boy, oh boy, can I relate to this. Especially the part where it says, sometimes number four can make lessons harder by focusing on the limitations of the lesson rather than the opportunity of the lesson. That is something that I tend to do, but I'm trying really hard to see the lessons in the lessons that we learn instead of the misery that it gives us while we're learning them. I'm trying to look on the bright side of things, especially down here in North Carolina, where I am beginning my new life. So we're going to wrap up here with a few songs. I wanted to play S.J. Tucker's Go Away God Boy for you guys, because that's one of my favorites. And then maybe we'll play some Darb Bard. And then I would like to play Jenna Green's Bard Song. So here we go. Let's play S.J. Tucker first. And we'll play Go Away God Boy. And that will be followed by Jenna Green with Bard Song. And then I will find a Darb the Bard Song for you guys. Thank you so much for listening to Sacred Divergence Radio tonight for our 75th episode. Here we go with some music. Enjoy. Okay, maybe not, because the internet connection has fuzzed out again. Let me refresh here. And see what we can do to get the network back online. It doesn't seem like 10 minutes goes by very quickly, but sometimes it does. All right, let's try this again. I'm going to refresh my page. Thank you all so much for your patience. I really, really, really appreciate it. And I thank you guys for tuning in tonight and listening to little old me discuss the winter solstice and the numerology of the seasons. And we're going to search for S.J. Tucker's music here. And okay, that was not what I expected it to do. Let me refresh the page one more time, or just go back here. Maybe that will do the trick here. Too far. Studio. Come on, studio. Well, now the blasted thing won't load. Okay, here we go. All right, scrolling down, down, down some more. Murphy's Midnight Rounders. Music for the Goddess. Okay, S.J. Tucker, here we go. All right, here we go with some S.J. Tucker for you guys. Go Away God Boy, coming right up.
Trying. the Celtic Bard, we offer up our praise. Guardians of our mysteries, keepers of the old days.
And as promised, I have a Dark Bard song for you. Let me just find it. It is called... the name just left me. Hold on, I'll find it. Well, you know what? Let's just play Dark Bard's Patapan, since that's a Winter Solstice song. I heard it earlier tonight, and... it's a good one. So here we go. It's related to the winter solstice in one fashion or another. And I hope you enjoy it. And after this, I will be bowing out. So I wish you all a blessed winter solstice, a blessed Yuletide season, a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Eid, and whatever tradition you celebrate. I hope you... make merry and make light. May you all blessed be, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Sacred Divergence Radio with your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth and friends on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Have a topic for us to discuss on air? Connect with Reverend Elizabeth at sacreddivergenceradio@gmail.com and on Twitter at SDivergence with hashtag topic hat. See you next week at 10 p.m. Eastern here on Sacred Divergence Radio and the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.